You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
And can you imagine flying up? You're flying going, I could have fed all those people.
Yeah.
I could have helped all those people.
Yeah.
And the joy of it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand why there's not more people going around saying, hey, here's a check. Here's a check. I know a lady that worked, a friend of mine, she lives in this town now. She was, you know, Marie from The Sound of Music, the real Marie. Okay. She was a nun and they escaped Hitler. Well, she would travel with her. And she said Marie, oh, she was her assistant. Marie would have this little, they lived up in Stowe, Vermont. And that's where they have the Von Trapp, lodge and stuff where people stay. Anyway, so she had this little brief, little case, which had a sweater, underwears, and maybe something else, whatever. And, but my friend Beverly said that all of a sudden Marie would go, see that person over there? Write a check for $5,000 and give it to them. So she was always, you know, helping people out secretly.
Yes, yes.
And and the reason I bring this up is, if you're listening to this, there is really great joy. And also, it doesn't have to be $5,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 or $5 million. You know, your little – I remember one time I wanted to record a song when I was first born again. I didn't have much money. I'm living in the ghetto. And some Jewish lady who came to know Jesus, she sent me a $5 bill. Who do I remember all these years later?
Yeah. Yeah,
it was only $5, which maybe she gave out of her need, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it meant a lot that she. It was just the encouragement. You know?
Yes.
So, I urge people to consider helping an organization like yours.
And what kind of, you know, you asked like what, you know, what kind of feeling do I get from it? I remember this. So my sister is currently 21 years sober, and she is the first person in my family who we had a family disease who got sober. I went to prison. My little brother was in the streets, couldn't be found, overdosed and left and right. My mom was an alcoholic. Her husband went to prison. My sister had herself and three kids, and she ended up going to the homeless family center. And the program, the 12-step program that she attended, surrounded her and became her family. And she was the first person to start giving me some hope. Right? She would write me in prison, you don't have to live this way any longer if you don't want to. She sent me the story of the two wolves. She would just constantly...
Yeah, which wolf you feed,
Whichever wolf you feed. And so, and I don't even remember a lot of the like family stuff that was in her letters. I remember all of the inspirational stuff. And so I just knew like that's what I wanted to do, right? And I, you know, I still have a heavy heart because... I always feel like we're never doing enough. You know, there are people out there dying, you know. It's why I live my recovery out loud, because there's people dying in silence, right? Everybody.
People dying in silence. I know a lady in this town when I had my advertising firm here, and she worked for, I think it was either TV or radio, and then I found out years later she sequestered herself. Isolation is a danger sign.
Yes.
And she drank herself to death, and... there's no getting her back. And like you, I've lost many people. Yeah. I mean, you can be at a meeting on Friday night, and this is a true story. Mm-hmm. Went back. It might have been Dynamic Life. I don't know. It was a few years back. There's this guy there, this kid. He went back that night after being in a 12-step meeting. Gone.
Yeah.
And then there's this other lady came in. She knew me by name. I knew her. She ended up falling in love with this guy. I thought he was kind of a creepy guy, but that's a dad thing in me, you know. So, but anyway, they had a child. And then she goes out for one night, and they find her froze like this, dead.
Mm.
And that little boy doesn't have a mother.
Yeah.
Whew. And decisions.
And that's really, you know, it drives me, but also keeps my heart very humbled in the sense that, you know, I really don't feel like we're ever doing enough. We could always be doing more, you know. We got 28 beds now. We could have 48 with the right help, you know. And so
let's get one of those billionaires.
Yeah. I'm telling you what, if you're listening, write that check.
Yeah.
You know, cause it's really,
there's nobody getting rich at Dynamic Life.
No. Yeah. There's no profit. Right. But the profit is, you know, it's something that Joe Pellegrino said the night of our fundraiser. He said, what is the cost of a changed life? And the three men that were in that room that night, right. Okay. The cost might have been a little bit to get those guys where they need to go, but the profit of those three lives is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, take a look at what Bruce is doing now. You know, he's out there speaking to teenagers. He's in schools. He's going into jails. He's speaking in 12-step meetings. He's speaking in churches. You know, the cost is far.
When I'm standing there talking to him, I know it sounds weird, but I feel like I'm talking to a sports star, some kind of a star.
Yeah,
it just exudes that.
Yeah, yeah. He does.
It's like, I'm like, what is this feeling I have around him? He's like, because he's a great human being, and yet there was a time he would have killed me.
Yeah.
And the other guy in the video, Jason, I mean, he's a staff member at Dynamic Life now.
Oh, Jason, he's the one that answered the phone the other day.
Yes, and he's, you know, he's the one, when you call Dynamic Life, he is the first person you speak with.
Very important.
Yes, and he is, his heart to see guys find recovery is so amazing. And his story is heartbreaking.
But like me, he lost his brother.
Yes.
And his father was part of that.
Yes.
And his father was blubbering, crying. I'm glad he was, because that got everybody else crying.
Yeah, that's the heart of a loving father. Yeah. Yeah.
Lost one son, but one son was saved.
Yeah.
And you never get over that. Yeah. I know my mother never got over the drowning of my brother. Alcohol was involved in it, obviously. I won't go into that. But
yeah.
So Dynamic Life. What's our time looking like, Doolin? Hey, Doolin.
Yes.
What's our time looking like? Okay.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, if you could put that up on the screen for me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Sorry, folks, but I don't know how much longer we have here. And we're talking with the people from Dynamic Life. We have the director is George Lynch, and he can be reached at 772. Should I give out that
number? Yeah, sure, absolutely.
772-501-2942. We also have George Pellington, board president. Should I give out your number or no? Okay. 561-346-2271. Because I gave out the number one time to one individual who's very famous, 240 million copies of her books. And we actually, Debbie Macomb, we used to go over and feed people at that homeless place you were talking about, you know? Family Home Center?
Homeless Center. I think they changed their name now, though. Yeah. I think it's Hope for Families.
Hope for Families Center. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And but one time I gave out her number to somebody, an author. I thought it'd be okay. Don't you ever. You get somebody famous in a position of power, you do not. Just like the other day, I called for you.
Yeah.
And Justin wouldn't give me any personal information.
Jason.
That you would call me back. And I thank you for calling me back because, we got about 11 minutes left. As I said, we're talking with Dynamic Life. They're a recovery center, a community. And they have, you can get the semi-annual report here. They work with UP.
Yep.
And what's unique about UP, what concerns me is we have Dynamic Life and we have UP. So you send over an individual and can train him or her, or, well, in this case, him, to how to have a position. What happens in somebody in Utah or in Colorado doesn't have an UP? Because this is unique where they take people in and say, we're going to feed you tonight. Well, you know, you can feed somebody forever.
Yes.
Whereas the old saying, give a man a fish, he'll eat well tonight.
Yeah.
Teach a man how to fish, he'll eat well the rest of his life. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yes.
And we really, you know, we adore our relationship with United Against Poverty. So when we have a guy come in and we take a look at his job experience, say his job experience is like Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell. Instead of just saying, hey, go out and get a job, we're saying, no, you know what? We're going to put you on scholarship. You need to go through the job training.
So you can have a career.
Exactly. Yes. And so we encourage them in that direction.
Isn't that wonderful?
You know, if a guy comes in and says, you know, I'm a, you know, CEO of this, that, and the other, okay, just go get to work, right? Because you got all the job training you need. But when they come into us with, you know, no job training at all.
You know, see, that was presumptive of me. You're right. I was constantly thinking here, oh, these are poor down and outers and, you know, whatever.
They're not always.
Yeah, because I know it's meetings I've gone to, three judges in the area, multiple doctors who are in recovery.
Yeah.
And it's important. We should say that because of the, what did I say about the shame?
The stigma.
The stigma.
Yeah, the stigma. Yeah. I mean, you don't want anybody to know. I mean, it's like, you know, and... I know out in Hollywood, there's a lot of people, and I know people have gone to different meetings, and I've been to some meetings like in Santa Fe. If all of a sudden there's a person, you go, oh, that famous person is there. Of course, it is anonymous, and you know. But the nice thing about these rooms of salvation, of recovery, are that people. What's amazing about it is people, complete and utter strangers, help save my life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I used to think, like, well, when I grew up, the only people that had tattoos were your lower class rough sailors that came into town and seduced women. Now, so all of a sudden I got a generation here with a bunch of You have money. You have the three crosses on your neck. Yeah. I'm going, well, let me tell you something, and I don't want to cry. It could make me cry, but I tell you what, a whole lot of people with a whole lot of tattoos reached out to me at my hour of fragility. Mm-hmm. My legs are shaking, mm-hmm. and no one judged me. Mm-hmm. And I was able to be me and come into the rooms of love.
When I was in my addiction right before the end, I had a relationship with the local church, and the pastor just didn't understand addiction. He just stopped, George, just come here. Let us give you some clothes. Let us give you, but just stop doing drugs. And he couldn't understand that I couldn't stop.
The mind isn't always that powerful. It takes the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Yeah.
And so then that's, of course I was forced when I got sent to the Department of Corrections. But when I got out, and I got into the rooms of the 12-step fellowship, I was like, these are my people. These people understand, the first step and the second step deal with alcohol or drugs, depending on your 12-step program. But everything else is changing this and, changing our mind and changing our heart and changing our relationship with our higher power, who we know is Jesus. So it wasn't about just stop drinking or just stop using. It was about changing my life. Mm-hmm. And the 12 steps is a beautiful guide to changing a person's life. I'll have people in the church all the time say, well, why do you need those 12 steps? Don't you just, you just need Jesus? And I mean, who could argue with that, right? But my first sponsor, his name was Shoopy. He used to tell me.
I knew Shoopy.
You knew Shoopy, yeah. And so I used to ask Shoopy, I used to say, why can't I just, be like those other Christians who, never think about drinking or drugging again? Like Jesus just saves them like that. And Shoopy would say, well, George, he puts some people in the microwave, but he puts people like me and you in the slow cooker.
The slow cooker. Yeah, Shoopy was on my show years ago. Now the late
sponsor.
Shoopy.
Yeah, it was my first sponsor. I can still hear his old Irish laugh and songs.
He exuded love.
Oh, he did. He did. Absolutely. Mm. And so it was really, learning. And I'll share this with people in the church, If I took all of the recovery language out of the 12 steps and I put just Christianese in it, mm-hmm. I can get people in the church to agree that they do all 12, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll say, well, you've already done the 12 steps. You're working, you're living the 12 steps. Mm-hmm.
People don't need to be beat up or brought to the bottom of the barrel.
Right.
They call it what they call the bottom.
Yeah, the bottom.
And the bottom of the bottle.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families rebuild their lives. We're expanding our services. The Workforce Discipleship Center providing housing for the working class homeless. Yes, repeat, for the working class homeless, for single men and single women. We are offering financial literacy and strategies along with spiritual discipleship. For more information, please call the Workforce Discipleship Office at 772-207-6925. Again, 772-207-6925. Our staff is waiting to assist you or someone you know.